FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's July 10th, 2017. Well, you know somebody has no sense of humor when they can't find it in themselves to laugh at themselves, even when they're the butt of the joke, which is often the case. And this works for companies as well as for individuals. If you've ever goofed something up and you just look and you shrug your shoulders and you hold out your hands and you just laugh because it's funny. Well, how come we've lost a sense of humor in our debate what poses as a debate that takes place in the media and in politics? Well, we've got former Congressman John LeBoutelier with us now to discuss that and other things. John, welcome back.
Thank you, Kerry. It is great to be back on a beautiful summer day without an election going on for a change, and just to talk about issues and what's happening in government with you for a few minutes is fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, and by the way, I should mention, if you got a question or a comment for myself or the congressman, just email me at kl@kerrylutz.com. We answer everything. And John, so we got CNN. Now, they are just imploding before your very eyes. We could go to the Project Veritas tapes, and they're basically saying Russia's a bunch of BS. Van Jones even says it. It's a nothing burger. Then Trump retweets a meme of, it was a picture of him from the WWE, a video. Instead of the Vince McMahon, they had CNN on the guy's shoulders. And this somehow became an encouragement towards violence towards the media, although they seem to be doing everything they can on their own. They don't really need any help. But, I mean, is this for real?
Well, you know what I took it as, which is it came right after the Anthony Scaramucci story that Van Jones was talking about, where CNN reported that Scaramucci, who's a Trump guy, financial guy up here in New York, they said he'd had, he'd been involved with the Russians, which he never had been. And CNN finally admitted they were wrong, and three people at CNN lost their job over misreporting, you know?
Yeah.
Clearly a vivid example of fake news. And Trump put he didn't even make that thing up. Some other guy made that thing up with the CNN logo over Vince McMahon's face. And it was clearly Trump saying, hey, I took down CNN. Mm-hmm. It wasn't violence. It was a joke. It's wrestling is fake also, but it was Trump, the superhero, defeat CNN. That's all that meant. It wasn't anything violent. And of course, they go nuts over that.
Yeah. So. Hey, it was funny. I mean, you know, a little sophomoric, but it wasn't, like you said, anything more than just a goof. And then they turned it into, you're encouraging violence against the media. And look, in all those rallies that Trump had leading up to the election, I mean, people shouted profanities at the media, CNN sucks, etc. But never once was there any recorded attack upon the media. And there, they were actively engaged in fake news, you know, diminishing the size of the crowds, you know, quoting Trump out of context, which isn't that difficult, let's face it. But all these things, no one ever got attacked. And now, because he retweets something that some guy said, this is going to become violence against journalists. Ridiculous. And then what they did the guy who posted it, it seemed like they were blackmailing him. You know, it was just, talk about a snafu. That was definitely there.
Screw up. But here's the thing. I don't watch CNN ever. I can't take it.
I knew I liked your taste.
Yeah, I think their ratings, all three cable networks have had a change in ratings this year because of this president. He is the center of attention every day in every news story. He's been that way the whole campaign, all last year, all of it. And it's been that way, obviously, as president. And that's good and bad. You know, if he can use the attention that he gets and sort of channel it a little more directionally, maybe we can get some stuff done that is yet to get done this year. He's had one big victory, which was Gorsuch on the Supreme Court. That's a great victory. And it happened quickly and painlessly, and it's done. But now, hanging in the balance, and you and I are going to discuss it, is the healthcare bill, whatever the bill is, because none of us even know what's in the thing.
Yeah, you got to see it to know what's in it.
Well, maybe we shouldn't see it. I don't know. But it's in the Senate, and I'm not qualified to talk about healthcare as a healthcare issue, but I can talk about it a little bit as a political issue. And what threatens the Republicans is a little bit of history here. If you go back and you look in 93 and 4, Hillary was fooling around with what they ended up calling Hillary Care. And it was so unpopular that the Democrats lost both the House and the Senate in 1994. Then Obama in 09 and 010 does Obamacare, of course, and promptly loses the House. As he said, we got shellacked in November of 2010. And then they lose the Senate on Obamacare in 2014. And they also lost governorships, state houses, you know, legislatures. I think we could say the Democratic Party as a national party has been wiped out by Obamacare, absolutely wiped out. And what's left of the Democrats nationally is nothing to worry about. They're really pathetic.
Yeah.
And what I worry about is that those two examples, Hillary Care and Obamacare, the party in power got blown out. And now the Republicans, my party, we're in power. And we've taken on the health care thing. And it's enormously unpopular, 16% approval rating for the House bill. The Senate bill is hovering around the same number. I've seen one poll where it was 12%, another one 17%. Now, Kerry, it doesn't take a genius to know that very few people are going to end up voting for something that toxic and that unpopular. And so I think what we're headed towards is the Republicans, who are just back now from their July 4th recess, are going to do what the White House started talking about at the end of last week, which is scrap this bill for the time being, and instead have a vote to repeal Obamacare. Just a clean repeal, effective, you know, in a year or two, to pick a day. And that way they can go home for the rest of the summer and say, we did what we promised to do. We repealed Obamacare. And in the 2 years left of Obamacare before it's out of power, out of juice, we will come up with an alternative and pass it. And that's the hard part. What is the alternative? Because they don't have an alternative. The thing that they're pushing in the Senate is so unpopular, and I don't think it could pass the Senate anyway. They're going to have to start all over again, House and Senate, and come up with a health care plan that works, that they could sell to the country. And we haven't been doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe that eventually, John, they will do something. Because the price of doing nothing is just, you've outlined it perfectly. It's like the House of the Rising Sun in New Orleans. It's been the ruin of many a man, and they don't want it to be them. So,
well, when you say you think they'll do something, you think the something could just be the straight repeal and put off the replacement for a couple of years and buy time? And
yeah, well, I think they'll kick the can when in doubt. What does Washington always do, John? At least at least the clock will be ticking, right? But the thing's imploding now.
There's another option. There's one other option.
Mm-hmm.
We got a couple options. This option is interesting because it's political. It's that they agree to do something with Democrats.
Yeah.
And they pass something on a bipartisan level. And what that does is it takes a lot of the politics out of this issue for 2018.
Yeah.
If the two parties endorse a compromise health care plan, then there you go. I mean, then the country doesn't blame one party or the other like they've mm-hmm. been doing the last two times.
Yeah. And, look, we're in such a different time now. There was a time when people worked across the aisles. You didn't always get everything you wanted, but you could get something, to show for your efforts. It's become a binary choice. It's all or nothing. And I don't know that the Democrats necessarily pick up if they defeat or they don't work on a solution. Because, look, anyone you talk to, they are screaming about Obamacare, about the premiums, the copays, the deductibles, all of these wonderful things that Obamacare has brought to you. And really, how the Democrats think they're going to profit from the chaos that they created is kind of a mystery to me. But, dumber things have been attempted, right?
Well, I never know how to think of what a Democrat's thinking about. They make no sense to me. And there aren't many Democrats left anyway. I mean, they really aren't a factor They're not holding up the Republicans on the healthcare status now. This is all on the Republicans being divided among themselves between Tea Party, Freedom Caucus type Republicans, and more mainstream Republicans. They really don't agree on that much on any issue, but especially on this thing. Whereas the more moderate ones and the states they come from really need Medicaid money badly. And then the far right guys want to get rid of Medicaid. They don't believe in it. They think it's lousy, and they're trying to squeeze it. And those two can't mix. They may both be called Republican, but they really don't share much in common on this thing at all. And by the way, where is the plan? With all the conservative inducements to put a market system back in healthcare, I'm waiting to see the plan with medical savings accounts and all that stuff, tort reform, no restrictions on what state you can buy health insurance in. Where's that plan? They never came up with that plan.
Yeah, they never have. Well, for some of it, they need 60 votes, supposedly. For some of it, they don't. So,
well, the best way to get 60 votes then is, and the only way to get 60, you have 52 Republicans. You're going to need 8 Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
You need a compromise plan. You know, and they, I think everybody's afraid of their own base. The Democratic left hates Trump, and therefore they told Schumer and Pelosi, if you work with the Republicans, we're going to be against you. The hard right of the Republican Party, that's our base, they hate Pelosi and Schumer with such a vengeance that they won't let their politicians make a deal with the Democrats. So we're stuck with, in effect, the two bases running the country.
Yeah, well,
and we're not getting anywhere.
I think there's other things going on here as well, though. I think that the elite doesn't want Obamacare gone. You know, they put a lot of time and effort into it. They love the fact that it shifted the cost of medical care from companies, especially large companies with large legacy costs, over in large measure to self-pay and the government. And they don't want to go back. And until we come up with another system that really does embrace the free market, I think it's just going to get worse, and you can't fix it. You got to kill the village to save it. You know, like they said in Vietnam, you know, why did you
burn it down to save it?
Yeah. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And, you know, what are you going to do? So, but the one thing, what's the greatest, motivator of politicians when you come down to it, which keeps them doing what they have to do?
No fear of losing their reelection.
Yeah. So that is going to start to come into play. And in a way, Trump can just sit back and watch them writhe at the end of the rope. And who wants to be known as the guy who defeated repeal of Obamacare as the senator or the representative? Nobody, right? So it's, I think survival instincts are going to take hold before it's all said and done. And then we go into tax reform. Now, that's an area that everybody should be able to agree on, don't you think?
I think they all agree on the need to do it. But the problems in it are that it takes a long time to do tax reform. We're now in the middle of July, and they haven't finished on health care, and I'm not sure they're going to do it. But they're going to spend some more time on it, for sure. And then they'll take up tax reform either way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that there's enough time in this calendar year to do it. Last time we did it in '86, it took 2 years to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And people wonder why that is. It's because every comma and paragraph and a phrase in the tax code is worth a lot of money to somebody.
Oh, God, yeah.
And the right, any interpretational, if you put it this way, it means this, and I can deduct that, blah, blah. If not, I can't do it. And so I think they're a long way away. And we're going to start getting into 2018 pretty quickly. And once you get into an election year, it's harder to do these things. They have really squandered the first half of this year. They really screwed it up and wasted a lot of time, both the White House with Trump and his tweeting and the Hill with screwing around. And they are facing 3 weeks of work here before the August recess with no accomplishments. They haven't done anything.
Mm-hmm.
When they have all the power, they have the House, the Senate, and the White House. Democrats have no veto power over anything.
Yeah.
And they're just Republicans are screwing it up.
Well, I think it's more by design than by accident. But I'll tell you what, they will have to do something. They can't go through this as a do-nothing Congress, or they're going to have a lot of, it's going to become existential. So we'll see if their survival instincts kick in better than the Democrats did. I think one thing you can say about the Republicans is that they're more in touch with what's going on
here, definitely.
The mood of the country. The Democrats were, you know, totally oblivious to everything taking place here, right? I mean, they really believed that you were going to love Obamacare. You just had to, they had to pass it so you could see what was in it, right?
And it didn't work too good, did it? I just think this, though, the Republicans, by taking this law on this year, have blurred in the eyes of most voters who's responsible for healthcare problems in America. So next week, you go down to your insurance company and you can't get a prescription filled or something because of the health law. Are you going to blame Obama and the Democrats, even though it's their law? Or are you going to blame the Republicans? Now, technically, the Republicans had no say yet. They haven't done anything.
That's the problem.
But but they own the issue because they own the government.
Exactly. You're so right. I couldn't agree with you more. But that's why I believe, because forget about the Democrats. I think they're completely detached from reality, because if they weren't, John, they wouldn't have passed this monstrosity, right? So forget about them. I mean, it's really just they're beyond the pale. Like we said, the Republicans do have an understanding. They might not go with it, but they do know the mood of the country and are much more in touch with it than the Democrats have been for since Obama took over, I guess, right?
Oh, definitely. No, they misread America after the financial collapse.
Yeah.
And they thought the country had undergone some huge change, which it had not.
Yeah,
it elected Obama. That was a huge change. But that's not all that went on. And whatever went on then, anyway, it has radicalized a big part of this country.
Yes.
And they did something they never thought they would do. It's both for Trump.
Yeah.
And Trump has got a mandate to fix some of this stuff. And time's a wasting. He's got to get it done. Yeah.
Yes, agreed. Agreed. So it's going to be interesting to see how they pull this off, if they're able to. And I agree with you. It's certainly not, it certainly hasn't, they haven't shown any inclination to do it yet. But time is a wasting. What do you think of the odds are that there's no August recess?
Oh, no, there's no, there will be an August recess. They're not going to change the schedule. They could add a couple days onto the work period, but they're going away after 1 week of August. They always do, and they will. And Trump will go away. The country will go away. But August is a non-productive month worldwide, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it didn't used to be that. I remember when I was a kid. Right?
Yeah. I don't know. I remember it. But it's going to happen. They're going to have their recess. They don't care what people say. And they've got trips planned and stuff scheduled already. So unless there's an emergency, a 9/11 or something, and God, we don't want that. Short of something like that, they've got the rest of this month to sort out this healthcare thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's their number one priority. They got to get something done to put this thing behind them.
Yeah. Well, I'm not as pessimistic as you. Because, look, the way I look at Trump, he shouldn't be there right now. By all accounts, the guy should not be there, right? And yet, who's the president? So, miracles happen. And, it's just a question of what it's going to take. There will be a catalytic event that forces a number of them to come to their senses. In a way, it's bad that they won all the special elections, John. You know?
Right. You could argue that it's made them complacent.
Exactly.
And they think that what they're doing is working and they don't have to do anything different. You could argue that.
Yeah, I think it's a valid argument, you know? I really think so.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, hey, we're just going to have to sit back. Luckily, that's what we do best, is sit back and watch them do their thing and then respond to it. So John, where's the best place to find you these days?
At johnleboot.com, J-O-H-N-L-E-B-O-U-T, johnleboot.com.
All right. That's an easy one to remember. And as always, we have a link to it in the show notes of this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Make sure you sign up for the free newsletter. Just shipped one out today. Twitter feed's at Carrie Lutz. Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. And John, we will talk to you again real soon.
Thank you, Carrie. Love doing it. Talk to you soon.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.